Cape Talk. A worldview from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, good sir. How are you?
Hello, good morning. Very well, thank you. Very well for hump day. How are you?
Hump day. I'm fabulous. I'm ready to slide down to the rest of the week. All right, so I love women's rights, or at least equality, but I don't know if I like it in the context of your first story.
No, it's warped equality, I suppose, isn't it? But, yeah, this is the case, indeed the first case of an all-female bomb attack in France, thankfully foiled. Five French women, all converts to Islam, intended to detonate a car bomb near Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris 3 years ago, and they filled the car with gas canisters. The ringleader, Inesh Madani, pretended to be a man to recruit Islamic State sympathisers. That in itself is odd.
Yeah.
We're talking about a weird warped feminism in the world of terrorism.
Totally.
The fact that the ringleader had to pretend to be a bloke is a bit odd, but anyway, thankfully they got them all, so they've got now between 5 and 30 years in prison, depending on their role in this bomb plot. But the only reason they failed is that they tried to ignite the car by dousing it in diesel and then throwing a lit cigarette in. And I seem to remember that from, you know, you go into petrol stations, petrol forecourts,
yes,
all the time, gas stations, and they tell you, you know, extinguish cigarettes, etc. But in fact, it's very hard to light fuel with a lit cigarette.
Oh, wow.
Well, you should try this at home, but especially diesel. So nothing caught fire, although, of course, strangely enough, earlier this year, Notre Dame did go up in flames without any interference from these five, obviously.
Right. They could have just waited a bit. That's quite orcs, actually, to fail that way. And also,
yes,
it undermines every Nicolas Cage action movie where he walks away throwing a cigarette. All right, so the next question is over. Excuse me, the next topic is over in the Netherlands.
Yeah, this is an extraordinary one. I mean, there are so many unanswered questions, so don't ask me any of these unanswered questions.
Okay, sure.
Obviously, police are trying to get to the bottom of this, but what we know so far is that a family of, we don't know how many, but probably five or six young adults and a couple aged 50-something, let's say, spent 9 years in a basement in a farmhouse in a particularly remote part of the Netherlands. I know often you think of the Netherlands as not being remote, but this particular farmhouse, you could only get to it. It was sort of round the trees across the canal bridge.
Sure.
And there it was. The local postman said that he hadn't delivered any letters there at all in 9 years. And he said, do you know what? That's a bit odd, isn't it? It took him 9 years and this case to turn up. Anyway, what happened was one of the family stumbled into a local pub, drank five pints of beer rather quickly, and then said he needed help, that they had essentially been held captive in the basement of this farmhouse, and they were, quote, waiting for the end of time. So to start off with, they'd been convinced that the world was going to end, it was Armageddon, they would be safer off, they might as well end their days in the basement. But obviously, as time wore on, some of the younger ones began to get a bit angsty about this.
Needed a beer.
And so, look, yeah, exactly. Can you imagine a beer? No,
yeah,
beer for 9 years.
Exactly.
But this is why so police have gone and found the farm, and the man in charge of this, I mean, can you call it a sect of some kind,
yeah,
or a cult? I don't know if it quite runs that far, but anyway, the guy in charge may have been laid up in bed, may have been bedridden, which would be odd that he could control,
yeah,
the rest of them so easily. But I guess he had a lot of them convinced that the world was going to end. But 9 years later, obviously the world did not end, and ultimately they've all been freed, but all their individual stories are now going to have to come out as to, I mean, how much imprisonment, enslavement, torture was involved.
Jesus.
Who knows at this stage? Yeah, it's a very odd one. And ultimately, of course, it will be a Netflix miniseries. I just get
that
feeling.
I was about to say, I look forward to the documentary. Finally, we've been talking about this a little bit here in our sports, in our social rundowns, about those terrible Bulgaria-England issues, scenes of racism. How,
yeah,
has it been received over that side?
Well, I'd say in two ways. Number one, that isn't it terrible, isn't it horrible, isn't it awful, mm-hmm, that racism can exist like that in such an obvious place? I mean, bear in mind, they were playing a football match which was already in a half-empty stadium because of past problems with racist,
right,
chanting by Bulgarian supporters. Despite that, there they were again doing the full monkey noises, Heil Hitler gestures, swastikas on chairs and so forth, and doing it whenever a black England player touched the ball. We know there's this new UEFA protocol. We know now that UEFA is investigating. But the flip side to this, on the one hand, it got outed. It has, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, how disgraceful this is, and indeed heads are rolling, that the head of the Bulgarian Football Association's had to quit. But on the other hand, what about this UEFA protocol, which says that essentially you put out a warning over the PA system, then the referee leads the teams off, and ultimately they abandon the match? Mm. Because basically, the referee kept asking the players and the manager, the England manager in particular, do you want to carry on? Do you want to carry on? And they said yes. And they sort of got a bit plucky about it and decided, no, we will do this, which isn't, in theory, part of the UEFA protocol.
Right.
Why would it be down to players to make that decision in the heat of the moment? Surely it should be officials looking at that saying, no, sorry, and obviously then reimbursing travelling fans and the innocent ones and so forth. It just seems a mishmash, which is what UEFA and FIFA need to get to the bottom of.
A cross-Atlantic high five to you, my brother Adam Gilchrist, for that. I say the same thing. Appreciate
I'm glad
that
we're
perspective.
In agreement.
Well, yeah,
good.
Very seldom that we disagree. All right, Adam, thank you so much for giving us that worldview. We
Thanks
look forward to chatting tomorrow.